Israel because my aunt brings back some things from Israel every time she goes. Now, we're going to do this like an echo. If I say my aunt comes back, I want you to say my aunt comes back. Can you try that? My aunt comes back.
My aunt comes back.
And if I do a motion, you keep doing it. Don't stop. Because I'm going to keep adding other motions on. And more, if you want to sit down, you can join right in. It doesn't take any experience. My aunt came back. From Ashkelon, and she brought back a lovely fan. My aunt came back from old Akko, and she brought back a fine yo-yo. My aunt came back from old Gilgal, and she brought back a ping pong ball. My aunt came back from the Tel Aviv fair, and she brought back a rocking chair. Come on, all of you, do all this. My aunt came back from Jerusalem, and she brought back some chewing gum. My aunt came back from the biblical zoo, and she brought back some nuts like you. Well, I'm Linda Spitzer. I'm a storyteller from Miami, and not only do I tell stories from around the world in all different cultures, but I specialize in Jewish folktales because I am Jewish. And maybe there isn't someone Jewish who tells stories in your town. So the Florida folk people thought it'd be a great idea if I came and shared some of our heritage with you today. Now, I need a volunteer. Come up. You don't mind being a man for this story, do you? Put the beard on, then it will make you look more like a man. Now, that's on the backward side. No. What we have here is Joseph the tailor. Does anybody know what a tailor does? What does a tailor do? What does a tailor do? Sews things, mostly clothes. Sometimes they fix clothes, but sometimes they just make clothes right from scratch, or they fix other people's clothes. What we have here is Joseph. This is a very, very old Jewish folk tale, and it's traveled to other countries, so you might have heard it somewhere else. Once there was a tailor whose name was Joseph. Joseph was very poor. He just didn't charge enough for when he made clothes for people. And there was something that he always wanted. He always wanted a coat. One day, he picked up all the pieces of fabric from the floor and he sewed himself a very funny looking coat. He cut. He stitched on the sewing machine and he sewed. Would you all do the sewing motion? And that's tying off the knot. He made himself a very funny looking, I didn't bring it with me because I thought it'd be real hot, very colorful. Well, I can take this off. A very colorful coat of all different colors. And he wore it outside. And who should come by but a troubadour? And the troubadour said, "That's just what I want. That coat of all those colors. I can use that. Sell it to me. Here's a lot of money." And Joseph said, "Sure, I'll sell you the coat." Say, "Sure, I'll sell you the coat." Well, now that Joseph had all this money, he went and he bought himself a very nice piece of fabric. Here's your fabric. And he put it on the table and he cut. He stitched. And he sewed. And he made himself a very handsome coat. I didn't bring the coat because I thought it'd be so hot today. But he made himself a very handsome coat. He loved that coat. So he wore the coat here. He wore the coat there. He wore the coat everywhere. Now, your part is to say, he wore the coat here. He wore the coat there. And everybody says, he wore the coat everywhere. You take your hand everywhere. Because he wore the coat everywhere, it got dirty on the hem, and it got dirty on the sleeves. And his wife took one look at Joseph after he'd worn that coat for 3 months, and she said, throw the coat out. Now, you tell them to say that. Throw the coat out. He didn't want to throw the coat out. He loved that coat. So he said, you know what? I'm a tailor. I can fix it. So he took the coat off. He put it on the table, and he looked at it. And he cut. He stitched. And he sewed. And he made himself a jacket. There was just enough fabric to make himself a jacket. He wore the jacket here. He wore the jacket there. He wore the jacket everywhere. But the jacket got shiny on the elbows. Oh, Joseph, it's looking so shabby. And the collar got frayed. And his wife, guess what she said? Throw the jacket out. He didn't want to throw the jacket out. You want to throw it out? No, he loved that jacket. He said, I'm a tailor, I can fix it. Say that.
I'm a tailor, I can fix it.
So he took it off, and he put it on the table, and he looked. And he cut, he stitched, and he sewed. And he made himself. I brought these because these were a little easier to bring. He made himself a vest. He loved the vest. So he wore it when he ate, and he wore it when he sewed, but he spilled soup all over it. He wore the vest here. He wore the vest there. He wore the vest everywhere. Oh, Joseph, look at all the soup on that. I don't think it looks good anymore. So his wife said, throw the vest out. He said, no, I'm a tailor. I can fix it. So he took the vest off, and he looked at it, and he really looked hard, and he cut, he stitched, and he sewed. He found just enough good material. He made himself a tie. He wore the tie here. He wore the tie. Oh, my, look at the soup stains. This is really getting terrible. And his grandchildren tugged at it, and it got all messed up in the rain. So his wife said, throw the tie out. I don't want to throw the tie out. I love this tie. Do you love that tie?
Yeah.
I'm a tailor. I can fix it. So he took the tie off. He put it on the table, and he cut. He stitched, and he sewed. He found just enough good material that he made himself a covered button. And they wore suspenders. You needed buttons. He wore the button here. He wore the button there. He wore the button everywhere. But one day, the button popped off. And his wife said, see, you can't make something out of nothing. And Joseph the tailor said, yes, I can. I can make up a story. I can make up a story about all the things I made with the piece of fabric. And that's what he did. He told the story.
Here.
He told the story.
There.
He told the story.
Everywhere.
And the story never, ever wore out because we're telling it to you today. What's your name?
Samantha.
Samantha. Give a hand to Samantha for helping me out. Thank you for being Joseph the Tailor. I've got a lot more fun stories for you. Thank you. Once upon a time, there was a magician who took a rabbit everywhere with him. One day he was going to a synagogue to put on a show. and the synagogue, the rabbit was going to be so happy because the magician gave back a little bit of what he earned to help the poor and the needy. Look how happy Roger Rabbit is. But you see, on the way to the synagogue, there was a mean rabbit who was very jealous, and he cast a wicked spell. He said, "Abracadabra, pocus hocus." And you know what? When the magician got to the synagogue, he couldn't find the rabbit. The rabbit just wouldn't come out of the hat. And the spell was cast. The magician didn't know what he was going to do. And then some of the kids said, "You know what? We have some magic crayons. Would you take the magic wand, touch the magic crayons, and we'll wave them over the book, under the book, and would you all say abracadabra, hocus pocus? Abracadabra, hocus pocus." Did the crayons disappear? Well, then they must be in the book. Let's see if I have a pocket. Let's see if they ended up in the book. Touch the book just to make sure. And when they touched the book, there were colors. Give the magic wand to somebody else. And would you come up here? What's your name? Jasmine. Touch the book. Come up here. Jasmine, touch the book and say abracadabra and say a movie that you've just seen. Say it right in here. Touch it three times. One, two, three. Now come over here to the microphone. What's a movie you've seen? Abracadabra. Have you seen Lion King? Say Lion King.
Lion King.
Okay, here's what happened. Well, you changed it a little bit, but we still don't have the rabbit. Who else has a magic word? You've been up here. You haven't been up here. Come up here. Touch the book. One, two, three. Say abracadabra.
Abracadabra.
Say a movie that you've seen.
Ghost.
Ghost. Wow, that's a nice one. Now, say abracadabra White Springs. Everybody say that. Abracadabra White Springs. Yay! The rabbit came out, the magician did his act, and everybody was very happy.
Is Mama Lindsay around? Jordan is looking for you.
Oh, dear.
If Mama Lindsay is around, Jordan is at the kids' place.
I know.
Okay. How many of you have heard of a man in the Bible, a very famous king, whose name was King Solomon? Raise your hand if you've heard of King Solomon. Good. He was known for, does anybody know what he was known for? His wisdom. He was known as a very wise king. Listen to this story and see if what you think he did was very wise. Solomon's wife, the queen, came in one day and said, "Oh, Solomon, you know what I want for my birthday? I want something no other queen has. I want a palace made out of bird beaks." "No problem," said the king. "I can make you a palace made out of bird beaks because I have a ring that allows me to talk to all the animals and birds. I know their language." So the king turned his ring. "Excuse me." Shh. Some people are trying to listen. The king turned his ring. He talked to the wind and he said, "Go call all the birds. Tell them they must come here because I'm going to make a palace for my wife made out of bird beaks." And so all the birds of the kingdom flew and landed on the palace. King Solomon came out and he saw the blue jay. He saw the eagle. He saw the flamingo. But he didn't see the hoopoe bird. The hoopoe bird is a colorful little bird. And he said to the wind, "I don't see the hoopoe bird. I cannot start building my palace until you bring the hoopoe bird. Go send another message." So the wind went out, and several hours later, a bird flew in. It was a small bird that had many colors, and it flew in, and it was very, very tired looking. "Oh, King Solomon, I'm sorry I'm late, but I've been flying all over your kingdom so that I can get enough knowledge so that you won't do this terrible thing. What terrible thing? You're going to build a palace made out of bird beaks. If I can ask you 3 questions, and if you can't answer even one of them, then maybe you won't do it. You'll change your mind. But if you answer all 3, well, just do what you want. All right. What nerve. And all the birds sitting around the top of the palace said, oh, what chutzpah this little bird has. What nerve to challenge the great, wise King Solomon to a contest. And they were embarrassed. All right, little hoopoe bird, ask your first question. King Solomon, what is it that has never been born, has never died, but still lives on? Oh, I can answer that. The answer to that is God. God has never been born and is never going to die and still lives on. You're right. Now here's the second question. What water does not flow up from the ground and does not fall from the sky as rain, but still flows? Does anybody here know that answer? What? No, it doesn't come up from the ground, and it doesn't come down from the sky. What water flows? No, that comes up from the ground. Does anybody know? King Solomon looked at all the birds, looking so sad, because if he answered this one right and the next one right, they were going to lose their bird beaks and their lives. Do you know? No, the river comes up because the rain comes and makes snow, and then the snow melts and becomes a river. So that really comes down from the sky. The answer to that, little hoopoe bird, is a tear flowing down your cheek. It doesn't come from the sky. It doesn't come up from the ground, and yet it still flows. You're right. Here's the last question. What is hard enough to drill a hole in a piece of wood, yet delicate enough to feed a baby? The king looked and he said, look at all these beautiful birds. Maybe I have made a mistake. After all, the Creator created everything to live, not to be killed. Who knows the answer to that? A bird beak, and that's just what King Solomon said. The answer to that, little hoopoe bird, is a bird's beak. Oh, the hoopoe bird felt so bad. King Solomon was very wise, and he could answer the 3 questions. All right, do with us as you will. And the king said, no, little hoopoe bird, I am not going to build a palace made out of bird beaks. I've changed my mind. You have shown me that it is not right to kill an animal to make such a silly thing as a palace. So, guards, bring in the little prince's crown. I'm going to crown the hoopoe bird. And this is the results. The little crown turned into a crown of feathers. And ever since that time, King Solomon is still known for his wisdom. But it's the hoopoe bird who often appears in many Jewish folk tales to teach a lesson, and he is left with this little crown of feathers. Thank you. That's called The Palace Made Out of Bird Beaks. Another thing that we do in the Jewish religion, we teach the care of the earth, not only to keep our animals safe and not become extinct, but also that we need to take care of our earth. Once there was a little boy whose name was Sammy. He loved to play up in an olive grove. Yes. And, But why don't you come in and go pick up all these back here? I'm going to take them. There's 2 more back there. Thank you. No, those are all back. There's something on top of it. I don't have a rock. Back to the story. Sammy was playing up in an olive grove when all of a sudden he heard, help me! Somebody help me! And he went over and he looked in the roots of the olive tree, and there was a bottle, bigger than that bottle, and in that bottle there was a little tiny man, no bigger than my finger. And the little man pressed his nose against the glass and said, "Help me! Please help me!" Well, Sammy needed to help. He couldn't live without helping somebody, so he pulled the cork out of the bottle, and the little man jumped out, and he took a breath. And all of a sudden, he was just as tall as Sammy. And he took another breath. And he was as big as Sammy's father. And then he took another breath. He was as tall as the olive trees. He was a giant. And the giant said, "Now that I'm out of that bottle, I'm going to eat you for my supper." "After what I did for you, you know, that's not fair." "I don't care." Let's have some audience participation. Little Sammy said, "That's not fair." Say that. "That's not fair." And the big giant said, "I don't care." Try that. "I don't care." Because that's going to come up in the story a few times, so I want you to be ready to join me when I say it. You don't return some kindness with something bad like what you just said you're going to do. I think that we should go ask somebody else before you do something like that.
"Okay, if you insist, we will go ask the wind. The wind is very old and powerful."
So Sammy and the giant went to the valley where the wind was blowing around. And Sammy said, "Wind, I have to ask you a question. This giant was in a bottle. I pulled the giant out of the bottle. He jumped out, and because of me, his life was saved. And then he said to me he was going to eat me for his supper. Wind, I don't think that's fair." And Sammy said to the wind, "That's not fair."
And the giant stood up and laughed and said, "I don't care."
Well, is it true, Wynn, that you return something good with something bad?
"Well, let me think about that," said the wind. "I know that the first thing I do is I breathe life into people.
And what do? They pollute my air. And sometimes they tell me I'm blowing too hard. And sometimes they tell me I'm not blowing hard enough because I'm hot. So I guess the giant is right." And the giant started to laugh. Would you laugh like the giant? Well, the wind said, "You know, that's not the end of the argument. Why don't you go ask my friend the river?" So Sammy and the giant went over to the river, and Sammy went through the whole story again. "River, this giant was in a bottle. I took the cork out of the bottle. The giant jumped out of the bottle. And now the giant says he's going to eat me for his supper. And you know what I say? That's not fair." And the giant said, "I don't care." "Well, River, do you always repay something that you do good with something that is not good?"
"Well," said the river, "you know, I flow down here by people's houses, and I give them water, and I water their plants, and I give them food to eat because of the water. And how do they repay me? They pour yucky stuff in my water. They waste me all the time. So I have to agree with the giant that oftentimes something good is repaid with something that is very, very bad."
The giant started to laugh. How did the giant laugh?
"Ho, ho, 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 ho."
"But you know, the mountain is much older and much wiser than I am. Why don't you go and ask the mountain?"
Sammy and the giant went over to the mountain, Har Carmel, Mount Carmel in Haifa. And Sammy went through the whole story again. "Mount Carmel, this giant was in a bottle. I pulled the stopper out of the bottle. The giant jumped out of the bottle and became a big giant. And because I saved his life, he says he's going to eat me. And I say, that's not fair." And the giant said,
"I don't care."
Let me hear that again real loud. "I don't care." What do you think, Mountain? Is it true that you always repay something that you do good with something that's not so good?
Well, said the Mountain, you know, I give breathtaking, inspiring scenery to people who come and look at me. I present waterfalls, and waterfalls for me that's also beautiful. And what do people do? They cut roads up into my mountain. They camp out on my mountain and leave trash. So I'm not so sure. What I would like you to do, Sammy, is show me exactly where you found the giant. Go back to the tree and show me where you found him. I will watch from here. Sammy and the giant went back to the olive grove. There was the bottle lying right there. And so the Mountain said, Now is that the bottle? I can't believe a giant could fit in that bottle. And the giant said, I'll show you. And he made himself real small, and he jumped into the bottle. Sammy realized immediately what the Mountain had done for him. There was the stopper lying right next to the bottle, and he stopped it into the top of the bottle. He dug a deep hole under the roots of the olive tree, and he buried that bottle so deep that nobody would ever find the bottle again to take out. And so as far as I know to this day, that giant is still buried in that bottle. And the Jewish people, as well as other people, are very conscious now of what people do to this earth. So Sammy was just about ready to run home and tell all his friends what he had done that day when he said, Uh-oh, I'm sorry. And he ran over to the wind and he said, Thank you, wind, for giving us clean, fresh air. And he ran to the river and he said, Thank you, river, for giving us clean, fresh water and giving us plants that grow. And he went to the mountain and he said, Thank you, mountain, Toda Rabah, thank you very much for giving us the scenery that inspires so many of us, that we enjoy coming to see you. And that's how Sammy tells the story of the giant who tried to eat him. Let me tell you one last story. This is a little rabbi, Rabbi Moshe Pupik.
Hi there, boys and girls. Bim, bum, bim, 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 bum, bim, 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 bum. Oh, I just love that song. I just love that song. Hello there. Good to see you.
Well, Rabbi, I like it too.
I'm so excited.
Why are you so excited?
Because you're telling stories. I like to hear stories. I like to tell stories.
Well, Rabbi, I'm really no ventriloquist. But there is a puppet here who has another story to tell. But in order for me to let her tell the story, I'm going to have to put you down and you're going to have to listen from the chair in back.
Okay, I just wanted to say hello to all the boys and girls.
So let me put this one down.
Hi there, my name is Stacy. Well, Stacy, I understand that something very unusual happened to you.
Yes, it did. You see, I'm always used to praying and talking to God any way that I like. Like, God, if you were hungry and you wanted some of my jelly beans, I give them to you because, God, I love you so much. Or, God, if you wanted to use my rollerblades, I let you because, God, I love you so much.
What happened one day?
One day, my sister Jennifer was walking by the door, and I was doing my usual talking to God. God, if you wanted to borrow my new Pocahontas coloring book, I'd let you because, God, I love you so much.
And Jennifer came by and said, Stacy, whoever taught you to pray to God like that?
No one. I make them up.
Well, don't you know it's wrong? Don't you know you have to say the prayers out of the book or learn them at Sabbath school or Hebrew school? What you're doing is wrong. Let me teach you a prayer, and then you'll know it. And Jennifer taught her one of the earliest prayers that the Jewish children learn. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Now you say it. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Now don't you let me hear you praying anything else until you learn the right way to pray. Okay. And Jennifer left. And Stacy started to cry. She didn't know what to do. She didn't understand a word her sister had said, and she certainly couldn't remember the prayer her sister had taught her. She didn't want to go back to praying the way she did because she was too embarrassed, so she just didn't say a word. God, who lives in the highest pinnacle of heaven, can hear even a spider spinning a web. God can hear a caterpillar crawling over a leaf. God called an angel and said, "Angel Michael, go down and find out why that little girl who gives us the beautiful prayers isn't talking anymore. Find out what's wrong." So the angel went down right into Stacy's bedroom. "Stacy, why aren't you praying to God anymore?"